is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Luke chapter number 4, the Holy Spirit has led us to a particular pericope for our consumption on today. I pray that you want to hear what God has to say to all of us today. Luke chapter 4, if you'll look around verse number 37, you'll find these words. And the fame of him went out into every place round about in the country. That's enough. We'll stop right there. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Thank God for his word. I want to snatch my subject today from the Message translation of that particular text, when it simply says Jesus was the talk of the town. And that's what we want to talk about today, the talk of the town. God bless you today. The grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall last and stand forever. The talk of the town. I'm convinced this morning, beloved, that the greatest man in history is Jesus Christ. The greatest man today is Jesus Christ. And the greatest man there ever will be is Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, and I believe that every born-again believer would agree with me, that the greatest man in history is Jesus Christ. However, the irony to it is that how can the greatest man in history be the least talked about? How can he be so great as we just sang about, and we don't talk about him enough? How can he be so awesome, and we don't talk about him enough? How can he be so righteous, and there are people who don't know his name? How can he be so amazing, as we sing and shout and talk about so much, and nobody knows anything about this Jesus? With the mouths that we have, with the tongues that we have, with the places that we travail, the places we go, the people we meet, the opportunities that we have, why is it that the world still does not know about this Jesus? We know about who the president is, whether it be good or bad. We know who the governor is, whether he be good or bad. We know who the mayor is, whether he be good or bad. But it's amazing that many in Washington don't know who Jesus is. In Baton Rouge, there are people who don't know who Jesus is. Yes, in Winfield, there are people who don't know who Jesus is. There's some people listening to me right now who go to church and do not know who Jesus is. There are people in pulpits right now standing as I'm standing who are talking about a Jesus they really don't know. There are people who occupy the edifices, beautiful positions, beautiful robes, beautiful positions in church, but do not know about the Jesus that they represent. Who I slept with, that's the talk of the town. Who's going with who? That's the talk of the town. Whose child got arrested? That's the talk of the town. Where I bought crawfish from? That's the talk of the town. Whose child got locked up or didn't, or I got kicked out? That's the talk of the town. But the world will change. I'm convinced this morning that this world is going to change for the better. Walls will be torn down. Doors will open when we start talking about Jesus more than we talk about everything else. Isn't it amazing that we know bad news faster than we know good news? Because every trouble there is, every hardship, there is a Jesus that's assigned to it. For every struggle, for every sin, for every failure, for every heartbreak, for every disappointment, there is a Jesus that covers it all. The blood of Jesus washes away sin. Nobody talks about that. The blood of Jesus makes us white as snow. Nobody talks about that. The blood of Jesus forgives me, but nobody talks about that. All we talk about are the things that cannot help us. Here it is today. Word has gotten out in the last 2 days about this new strand of the coronavirus that came from the UK. Now we're on alert again. Now we're nervous again. Now we're scared again. We're spreading the word that there's a new thread. But I wish we had two or three people who would spread the word for every bit of sickness. There is still a Savior. He needs to be the talk of the town. And when Jesus becomes the talk of the town, we will be saved. When Jesus becomes the talk of the town, we will see walls be torn down. When Jesus is the talk of the town, we'll see sons and daughters come back to Christ. When Jesus begins to be the talk of the town, we will see racism be torn apart. When Jesus becomes the talk of the town, we won't have our agenda. When Jesus is the talk of the town, we won't have our opinion. When Jesus is the talk of the town, we won't be worried about Republicans and Democrats. When Jesus is the talk of the town, something's got to shift. When Jesus is the talk of the town, in this chapter, fourth chapter of Luke, We see Jesus becoming the talk of the town. Journey with me, if you would, to the text that in chapter 4, Jesus, as he is getting ready to begin his ministry, he has conquered and defeated the devil in the wilderness. The devil has sent him through many temptations and tried to tempt Jesus, and Jesus conquered him by speaking the word that he had already been taught. That by the word of God, he was able to overcome the enemy, and the devil left him, the Bible says, for a season. Now Jesus journeys and begins his ministry. He goes to his hometown in Galilee, a little place called Nazareth. He goes to Nazareth, and he begins to go to the synagogue, and the Bible says, as his custom is, that he went to church, and he preached his first sermon. In Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. To deliver those who need deliverance, to bring good news to the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are broken. God has anointed me. He preached from the book of Isaiah. He preaches his first sermon in Luke chapter 4. And you would think that his home folk, that the folk who raised him, the people who reared him, you would think they'd be happy to see their native son preaching. But ironically, the people in the church got mad. They were upset because they did not want to see his divinity. They wanted to see his humanity. And that's a word for somebody right there, parenthetically. Don't let people trying to put what they want you to be cause you not to be who God called you to be. He's still the Son of God, but they wanted to limit him to being Joseph's son. I'm almost through preaching now. Y'all don't miss me. Joseph's son is who they saw him, but he's God's son to the whole world. And then they missed the message that Jesus was preaching. So they got so mad because Jesus said, sooner or later, y'all go want me. But it's a shame that a prophet is without honor in his own home. That here it is, y'all don't even see the real me. Y'all don't even see what I'm here for. I'm here to save your life, and you don't see anything but what you want to see in me. You try to limit me to be my daddy's son, and I'm the Son of God. I am your Savior. I'm trying to help save you, and you trying to get rid of me. Jesus refers back to Elijah. He said, that's why Elijah couldn't help nobody. He had to go to Zarephath and help a woman. He says, that's how come Naaman had to get help, because nobody in Israel wanted to help. Sometimes folk just don't want to be helped by who they think they know. But be careful today. Don't get so familiar with people that you don't see Jesus coming. Because sometimes it's not just old homeboy, that's Jesus talking through your homeboy. Don't get so familiar. Don't get so casual with who you think God is using, because God is using some people you might not want him to use, but he's still using them to deliver you, to save you, to strengthen you, to save your life. But because you're so familiar and so casual, you can't see the Jesus in them. They get so mad at Jesus, a riot breaks out in the church. No riot breaks out in the marketplace. A riot breaks out in the church. A mob comes up in church, and they try to drive Jesus to the cliff. And their plan is to throw him off the cliff. Their plan is to get rid of him. But while they're so busy in the crowd, Jesus slips back through that crowd and escapes who's trying to kill him. Jesus, now we have no record. Here's the scary part. We have no record of Jesus returning back to Nazareth ever again. He preaches. He gives it a try. Gospel writers say that he was only able to heal a few sick folk before he had to move on, because people couldn't see past who they thought his daddy was and the scandal associated with his life, that they couldn't see the salvation of Jesus. But here it is. He doesn't stop being Jesus just because people don't want him. He moves now and makes himself a new home called Capernaum. He goes to a new place to make that his headquarters, Capernaum, still in Galilee. And he goes right back to the synagogue. And he goes in the synagogues and he preaches. He gives the word. He shares the word. And then he's going to show forth his power. And the Bible's going to get us to verse number 37, where he says that the fame of him went into every place round about of the city, of the area, of the region. The fame of him. Other translations say the reports of Jesus. Other ones say the talk about Jesus. If you see that word fame in your text, it comes from the Greek word ekos. It's where we get the word echo from. Meaning that there's a noise. There's a sound about Jesus that is different than every other sound being made round about. I done preached already. Y'all miss me. There is a specific sound concerning Jesus that is different and distinct than every other sound that you hear. Here's my question for all of us this morning. What is the noise you're making? What sound are you making with your life? What sound are you making with your experience? What sound are you making in your daily conversation? Are you making Jesus noise or are you making foolish noise? Are you talking about your problems or are you talking about your problem fixer? Are you talking about how sick you are or are you talking about who you know your healer is? Are you talking about what's wrong or are you talking about who's right? Are you talking about who died or are you talking about who got there off that Thursday morning? What is your conversation? My question to you this morning, what noise are you making? There's a noise going around Galilee and people are talking about this Jesus. This Jesus now is becoming popular. This Jesus talk is becoming popular. Every time you turn around, these folk starting to talk different than they've been talking. They talking about Jesus. They used to talk about mess. And now they're talking about a message. They used to talk about dirt. Now they're talking about a deliverer. They used to talk about misery. Now they're talking about ministry. They used to talk about the chief priests. They used to talk about the pastor, but now they're talking about Jesus. What is the noise that we're making? Are we talking about racism? Or are we talking about Jesus? Are we talking about what's wrong with the world? Or are we talking about what's right with the world? What is the noise of our community? What is the noise in your church? What is the noise in your home? What is the noise in your marriage? What is the noise? What's that noise I'm hearing? That is distinctive. There's an echo now, because see, you know about echoes. Echoes are consistent. It sounds just like everything else when it echoes. Echoes go to different places. There's a bounce back appeal when there's an echo. There's a consistency. There's a pattern when it echoes. In other words, it ain't just the preacher talking about him. It ought to bounce onto a deacon. It should have bounced onto an usher. It ought to bounce on to a deaconess. It ought to bounce on to somebody listening to some message about Jesus. It ought to be an echo in our community. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You got one or two people talking about him and nobody else does. What is it about this Jesus? How can we make him be the talk of the town? I know you won't go like this sermon, because this sermon ain't got nothing to do with you. This sermon is about Jesus. And every now and then, we got to get back to basics and realize this ain't got nothing to do with you. This is about Jesus. And Jesus allows you to live life so that you will see him more clearly. You ain't go through what you go through to brag on yourself. You went through what you went through to brag on Jesus who brought you through that. Look at it. How do we, this morning, make him the talk of the town again? Ain't you tired of crazy talk? I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me this morning. Ain't you tired of people talking about stuff that don't matter? Aren't you tired of just silly conversations with people? They ain't got nothing else better to talk about. And watch, when you start talking about Jesus, they want to leave you. When you start talking about Jesus, they can't handle that because they don't know what to talk about when it comes to Jesus. Look at it today. If we want to talk about Jesus, let's talk about, number one, proof of his works. Proof of his works. In our text, he moves to Capernaum. And in Capernaum, in the church, in the synagogue, he's teaching with authority. He's speaking with authority. But now, that's good that he preached. And I'm going to get back to him preaching in just a minute. But watch what happens when he preached. Here comes a man to the church, to the synagogue, with an unclean, evil spirit in him. This unclean, evil spirit comes to try to approach Jesus while he's preaching and teaching, to try to counteract whatever the effect of the word is. It's a spirit on the inside of him that's trying to counteract what Jesus is saying and doing. Okay, watch this. What am I saying? That means that even in the midst of a synagogue, even in the midst of a word going forth, there are still unclean, evil people who are present. Please don't get it twisted this morning and think that everybody who got on a suit, everybody who wears a chain and a necklace with a cross, everybody who's speaking tongues and rolling on the floor, that they have the right kind of spirit in them. Some folk got evil spirits. And they only show up when the word goes forth. All right, I'm going to prove this to you. Because it's not until the word goes forth you get hungry. It's not until the word goes forth them babies can't sit still. It's not until the word goes forth you got to go to the restroom. It's not until the word goes forth somebody's trying to call you while you're on live right now. Because people, the spirit of the devil does not want us getting the word. He don't care about us shouting. He don't care about us singing. He don't care about us dancing. But if we ever get a word in us, if we ever get the true word of God in us and start learning the word and applying the word, watch this. Why do I tell you this? Because the power of the word also helps us defeat the enemy. Did not Jesus, I just tell you back in the beginning of Luke chapter 4, that Jesus defeated the enemy not by rebuking him, but by giving him the word. And when you have enough word in you, whenever the devil shows up to you, he can't win because you already know what the word of God says. The reason why the devil whoops us like we do, because we ain't got no word. You have shouted all these years, you have spoken tongue all these years, you have gave an offering all these years, and you wonder why would the devil keep whooping you. The devil keep whooping you because you ain't got no word in you. You can't church your way. You can't shout your way. You got to know a word at some point in time. And here's why I'm trying not to get in trouble. Here's why the devil appears to be winning. Because the people of God don't know the word. You know what the bylaws say, but you don't know what the Bible says. You know why you're an usher, but you don't know why you're a Christian. You know why you're in church, but you don't know why you're in Christ. And if you don't know why Christ died, you don't know why you should live. And the devil is abusing the fact that we are ignorant concerning the word of God. We know how to do church, but we can't live as the church can live. And the reason why we try to get distracted, we love to confuse people with stuff that don't matter, because Jesus will point you to the word. And people don't like a Jesus that gives them the word. They want a Jesus that just touch them. They want a Jesus that just make you feel better. They want a Jesus who just heals you. They want a Jesus who just give you money. They want a Jesus who just give you a husband. You want a Jesus that just give you a wife, but you don't ever want a Jesus that'll sit you down and teach you something. So that when you teach, when you learn it, you know how to keep that husband. How to keep that money. How to stay healed. How to walk in your wholeness. How to walk like you delivered. So that you ain't got to keep coming back to him for the same thing. You got enough word in you. You can live for yourself. But Jesus can't be our teacher because he's so busy trying to be our social service agent. So we only talk about him when we need something from him. But this man, the unclean spirit, shows up and he wants to check Jesus. What business do you have to do with us, Jesus? Son of God? It's a shame the devil know more about him. The devil know who he is, and the folk in the synagogue don't know who he is. Jesus speaks a word of authority. Unclean spirit, come out of him. And the Bible says that the spirit left the man unharmed. That the man that he was, the vehicle that he was using was unharmed. And the people saw this in the church. To go along with the word they heard, they see the works proven and they see the word preached. They hear the word preached and see the works proven. I'm telling you, I'm almost to my landing now. Y'all finna miss it today. They hear the word preached and see the works proven, and they say, it's got to be something about this Jesus. Because before Jesus came and preached, we just been in a synagogue with evil spirits. But now I see a change in this brother. He used to be full of a demon. Now he's delivered, and he ain't been harmed. That the evil spirit in him was not enough to kill him because of the power of the word over him. Y'all missed it. The power of the word preached has power to deliver demons, to get rid of demons in your life. This ain't no shouting sermon. I'm trying to give you practical Jesus. This is why you need Jesus in your life. And you got to have Jesus through a word that's given to you. And the problem we have is that we don't want to hear a word. We just want the works. But if you're going to really be what God says be, you can't get works and not get a word. Oh, man. Oh, man, I messed you up there, ain't I? And we got to be careful now, because there is a great balance between word and works. And now we're in a pandemic, right? So anybody who just has a Wi-Fi and a phone calls themselves a preacher. Anybody now who just feel led, they go live and tell you what they call is a word. Because they got Wi-Fi capability and they got a device that will record. And some of us who don't know enough word prior to the pandemic are starting to follow somebody who sound good, but they have no foundation of the word of God. They will never tell you what the word of God says. They will give you a fanatical speech and call it a sermon. But if you will watch their life, you don't see any fruit from the word they claim to have. Where are the works to go along with that word? And preachers, if the folk don't receive it, you ought to be able to receive your own word.
No, I lost you.
Because how you gonna preach something you don't know? And now the body of Christ, nobody hears about Jesus because they see your life. And your life counteracts what you've been preaching. You telling me how to raise my child and look at yours. Where are the works to go along with this word? But then you can't have so many works that you don't have enough word. In this text, Jesus gives a word, speaks with authority, and then he speaks with authority to a demon. Jesus' word, the word of God, is powerful enough, it can give you doctrine, and it can deal with demons.
I lost you.
The word of God in your life is not enough just to defeat the enemies in your life, but there is a word of God to help you deal with the enemy, even when you deal with enemies. If you can't help yourself, you can't help nobody else. And this is something different than what they've been seeing. Because the chief priests just been letting them demons come in the church. And ain't nobody ever dealt with them spirits. They've been dealing with the people.
Lord, have mercy.
But when truth comes forth, liars get mad. When the truth goes forth, evil gets irritated. And that's why some folk don't have Jesus in them. When Jesus show up with a word, they get mad about it. Because when truth goes forth, liars get nervous that they're about to be exposed. I didn't say a sermon. I said a word. And you know why we dying? Because we done heard sermons for 30 and 40 years, but not a word. We put our preachers in a box to give us an introduction, 3 points, and a close. And we don't ask them to be before God for a word that's going to help my life. And so now preachers are just hired agents to tell us what we want to hear because we got itching ears. Tell me it's okay being evil. It's okay being dirty. It's okay being malicious. It's okay being a backbiter. It's okay being unforgiven. Long as you give me an introduction, 3 points of the close, shout and sing. Now you wouldn't have had church, but you ain't got no word to help your life. But when you get a simple word where somebody look you in your eye and say, if you don't let go of that unforgiveness, you're going to die in your own unforgiveness. You mad. Because the evil gets exposed when Jesus shows up. And you know the heartbreak? You know the heartbreak? Jesus should have been made popular before then. This is what I'm talking about, folk getting mad. Is in the church. It's in the synagogue. At home, I told you earlier, at home, 14 through 30, at home, they're getting ready to kill him. Not while he was being Joseph's son, a carpenter, but when he started walking in his anointing and walking in his kingly priesthood, they wanted to kill him. The folk getting mad at Jesus because anytime you speak Jesus, and you bring Jesus, the spirit of the devil in them recognize the spirit of God in you, and they automatically have a problem with you. They will smile in your face all the while trying to take your place. OJ said they call them backstabbers. Who grin all day long like they love you, but that spirit in them see the spirit of God in you, and they are on assignment to destroy you and shut your mouth. So that that truth in you won't expose the lie in them. And so maybe if we don't talk about the Jesus in him, the Jesus in him will not wake up. If I keep trying to bring up dirt on you, if I keep trying to attack you, maybe that Jesus in you will shut up. If I keep making your life a living hell, you will never allow the God in you to come out and shine. So the enemy in others tries to take out the Jesus in you, because when you live, the Jesus in you lives, and somebody might be helped because of your life in Jesus. But some people want to keep others under their spell, and I don't want you getting Jesus, because the minute somebody gets Jesus, they're going to be free from some folk who thought that you can't make it without them. But when you have Jesus, you learn how to get to the post office for yourself and don't need them to take you. And some folk don't like doing that. Because Jesus, in his first sermon, he said, see, they made him mad. Them folk at home were mad at him because he said, I'm preaching liberty to the captive. Y'all missed it. I'm trying to preach a word that's going to help the poor. Y'all missed it. God has sent me to preach to the brokenhearted, which means that you got brokenhearted, captive, heartbroken people in the church that y'all been letting stay like that. And when Jesus comes in, he cancels your agenda. Everything you have planned gets messed up when the Lord show up. Amen. And you want some people to not show up because the Jesus in them exposed the devil in you. The spirit gets out of that man and he leaves him unharmed. And it caused the people to say, wow. Bible says they're amazed at the power and authority. At the exousia, that's his authority. That's his powerful position. And then out of the dunamis power, two aspects of power he is at the same time. His exousia power, that's his position. And then the dunamis power, that's his proof of the works. All in one Jesus. And he got enough dynamite and doctrine to tear up anything you got planned.
Okay.
You don't have to always preach it, live it. And when you live it, you catch enough hell as is. When you make up in your mind, I'm going to live in what the Lord has told me and taught me, people mad at you that you're not mad at because you live in something they've been listening to but won't live. Because some people leave church, man, didn't God speak to us today? Others of you leave church, did you see what she had on? And you get confused, wasn't you listening to the same thing? That ain't changed you at all. You ain't been affected at all by the word God just shared with you. You mean you ain't get off the parking lot before you start talking stupid yet again? See, some people leave the word and say, wow. Others of us leave the word and say, okay. Because the more you talk about Jesus, the less they talk about you. The more people talk about Jesus, then they're going to talk about your dress. The more we talk about Jesus, we're not going to talk about you being the president. The more we talk about Jesus, the less we're going to be talking about your opinion. Because nobody can go against Jesus and think you go win. It's the proof of his works, the power of his word, and then the profession of the witnesses. I'm done. And it's the profession of the witnesses. Those who witnessed his power. Those who witnessed the word and who witnessed the works, they are changed themselves and they mess around and go tell other folk. Watch this. This means, ladies and gentlemen, that the word left the church before Jesus did. Jesus ain't left to go change his clothes from preaching and moving, and the word of him. The Lord shouldn't be left here for next Sunday. His name should have been taken somewhere. Watch this. Can I point you a little further? Because in verse 38, they go to Peter's house. And in Peter's house, his mother-in-law is sick of a fever. You don't just leave Jesus in the church. You want him to be famous, you got to take him to the house. And he goes to Peter's house and heals his mother-in-law and heals her of the fever. He blessed that lady so much, she got up cooking for everybody else. Jesus, do you want some cake? Jesus, do you want something to eat? Is there anything I can do for you? Wait a minute, I ain't through. Because the Bible says, if you keep reading chapter 4, Bible says, word gets out, not only what he did at the church, but the word gets out that he do something at Peter's house. Now everybody don't go to the church. Now you got folk tearing up Peter's house trying to see this Jesus. Y'all missed it. I know I sound weird today. Watch this. They talk about Jesus, it starts in the church, but it don't end in the church. Because Peter said, I'm taking Jesus home. Y'all missed it. I'm going to take Jesus home because I'm a witness that he can do it here. I know he can do it in my house. I'm a witness of his power. And you got other folks talking about what they saw him do at church. They want him to come to their house too. But watch this. I'm not going to wait on them to come to my house. I'm going to find Jesus. Watch this. They go to Peter's house. Bible says they almost tear the doors down. Numerous, diverse illnesses, diverse sicknesses that they ask Jesus to heal. Jesus is so on demand that he got to leave Peter's house. He had to go to a desert place, a solitary place, just to get away from people who are looking for him. Watch this. Jesus gets so popular, he was unable to leave Capernaum. Y'all missed it. That they want him so much, they don't want him to go. I'm losing y'all. They want Jesus there so much to help them, they need to be around him. Some of them just want to see him. Some folks just want to touch him. Some folks just want him to talk to him because the fame of Jesus has gotten out. And it didn't stay in the church. It done got to people's houses. And watch this. People may have had a problem with Peter, but it's what's in Peter's house. That causes them to not worry about what Peter gonna think about them. I ain't come here for you, Peter. I came here for who you got. I came to see Jesus. I came to see your house guests. Because watch what happens. Can I bless you real quick? I'm gonna leave y'all alone. Can I bless you real quick? Because y'all ain't really come for worship today. Y'all ain't come for no word. Let me help you real quick. When you welcome Jesus and you made him famous in your life, it ain't your house no more. The problem we have with us is that just because our name on the note, we think it's ours. But who you need to help you pay that note? See, we got this thing twisted. I didn't come to see you, Peter. I'm glad you unlocked the door. I'm glad you turned the lights on. This may be your name on the sign, but I didn't come to see you, Peter. I came to see Jesus because I heard he's there. And watch this, Peter. You can come in with all your programs and all your stuff. I ain't leaving till I see him. And when you come with the right focus, you don't leave disappointed. You know why you ain't getting that out of church? Because you ain't come to see Jesus. You came to get your way. You came to sing your song. Came to preach your sermon. Came to do your thing. But if you came to see Jesus, you never leave disappointed. And you don't leave the same. Because you came to see Jesus. Bible says he had to leave Peter's house because Peter's house was so full of people looking for him. His fame is spreading. People just keep coming to him. Y'all missed it. The word gets out, and people keep coming to him. The word gets out about him, and people keep coming to him. All kinds of people. Sick folk. Down and out folk. Laid off folk. Fired folk. Divorced folk. Single parent folk. White folk. Black folk. Baptist folk, Methodist folk, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Republicans, Democrats. They stopped trying to make him come see them. His fame, because witnesses are telling it, you got to see this man. I can tell you all about him, but you got to see for yourself. I wish I had two or three witnesses who know what I'm talking about, who done had an experience, had an encounter with him yourself. That is just something about it. You ain't got to be perfect. He'll still touch you. All you got to do is call out to him. He'll touch you. All you got to do is reach out to him. He'll touch you. He will stop in a crowd and say, who touched me? He will meet your need on the way to bless somebody else. Come see a man.
I can't explain them. I can just live it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deep the stain within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he lifted me. Now, I could try to explain it, but can't nobody tell it my story but me. But all I'm going to tell you, you better go sin. Because he's something better than what you living in now. I wish I had some witnesses. I wish I had folk who can give, who got eyewitness encounters, who've seen his power individually. That you had more month than you had money, and he took you to another month with the same money you had last month. I once was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed beg for bread. I wish I had a witness that he'll hold you when you need to be held. He'll pick you up when you need to be picked up. He'll love on you. He's a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. He's peace in a storm. He's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's my everything. He's my sustainer. He's my victory. He's my strong tower. No. No, 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 no. But we can tell people where to go find the food stamps. We can tell people who the plug is for everything else. We can tell people you got a sale at Max. There's a sale at Brooks. Is why? Because you went and got it yourself. I wish somebody would go tell people, I know a man from Galilee who still heals you, who still bless you, who still opens up blind eyes, who still opens doors. I wish you would tell it. Yeah. You can tell everybody else's business. Can you tell his business? Can you tell it? You know when I fail, but you ain't stay long enough to see him pick me up. Yeah. You saw when I got fired, but you ain't see when God gave me a new business. You saw when I got divorced, but you ain't see how God put me back together. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's some folk who don't know about the power of this Savior. But too many of us know for ourselves. We done lived through some stuff. We've seen some stuff. We've experienced some stuff. How God will take you from nothing. See, I don't get it. I better not get in trouble. I better not get in trouble. Because, see, I had some expectations when it comes to some saints. I better not get in trouble, man. There's certain expectations I have out of certain saints. No, I better not get in trouble. Y'all better tell me shut up. Y'all better tell me shut up. Because I got certain expectations. I done seen some people in the last 6 months who have been left for dead. Hold it. I want them to hear this. Y'all ain't doing nothing wrong. I want them to hear this. I done seen some people in 6 months' time who doctors said ain't nothing else we can do. I done seen people who God has restored, and it was nobody but the Lord to restore. But when I hear you talk, you don't talk about Jesus. You're talking just as stupid as you talked before. You told me about the budget, you ain't told me about Jesus. You told me about your rules, but you ain't told me about Jesus. That's why the world don't know about Jesus. That's why they know about elderberry. That's why they know about black seed oil. That's why they know about zinc, because it's been proven. I wish some saints of God would tell you about prayer. I wish saints of God would tell you about living for God. I wish saints of God would tell you about the word. Because when zinc didn't work, when a mask didn't work, when washing your hands didn't work, Jesus still works. Hallelujah. It was him who did it. It was him. And you went right back to the same old stuff. Ain't changed nothing. I have better expectations of the saints. That when we hear your voice again, you ain't gonna talk no stupid talk. You ain't gonna be talking no mess. You ain't gonna be talking no rules and regulations. I'm too thankful to care about your rules. I'm too thankful to care about your regulations. I'm too... Talk of the town. We know who got locked up. We don't never know who got set free. We know everybody who's sick on the list. But have we ever made a list of the recovered? There's a list of who died, but is there a list of who got saved? There's a list of who needed. Is there a list who want to give to somebody else? He needs to be the talk of the town. Your conversation needs to be more about Jesus than anything else. Get in trouble, boy. Be a saint before you go watch them this evening. See, watch this. Watch this. A lot of redeemed, healed, saved, born again, restored, preserved, protected people from be flooding social media with who that. You finna flood social media with who that? I'm watching the game too. But before I watch the game, I'm gonna talk about Jesus. Because the saints only play for a season. I wanna talk about a Savior who's for all seasons. It's his church. It's his world. It's his people. It's about him. And the body of Christ has lost focus of who this is about. Because you want to please him simply because you're grateful for how great he is and the wonderful things he's done. And you can't prove it, you just got to live it. I'm talking to people right now who have seen the Lord move in their life and folk don't believe it. Because you don't look like what you've been through. But instead of thanking him for bringing me from there, you complaining about here. What did you talk about when you came in this room? Worship leaders? Staff, what did you talk about when you came in? How good God been to you this week? Give me your testimony for the week. Girl, I got a testimony for you. Man, I got a testimony for you. No. Who told her to do that? Who gave them authority for that? What's your conversation? When you make Jesus the talk of the town. Because the hurting part about it is, he's not going to be received in every town. Ask Nazareth. But don't let it be said that Winfield didn't know there was a Savior. That if Winfield don't want to be saved, it's not because they didn't hear about a Jesus who was saved. Wherever you are virtually, don't ever let it be said that people didn't ever hear you say the name Jesus and give a personal testimony of the power of his works in your life. You know he'll heal. You know he'll deliver. You know he'll set you free. You know he'll provide. You know he'll restore. You are living evidence and proof.
And here's your shout. You didn't have to be perfect when he did it. You were not your best you when he did it. His love for you did it anyway. Am I only witness today who the Lord has moved for anyway? Not because I did what was right. Not because I said the right stuff, but because he chose to do it for me. And I'm going to waste my breath complaining. I'm going to waste this breath he gave me being messy. I'm going to waste this breath he gave me complaining and griping. No, I'm going to give him glory. Because I realize how valuable my breath is. See, you have to be without some stuff to appreciate it. Don't mess around and get without Jesus to really appreciate him. All for Jesus to you now. Hopefully I talked about him a little bit enough today that you want to see somebody. That you really want to come. I ain't say join church. I say join Jesus. We'll just be a means to help you see him more effectively in your life. I want you to see Jesus. I don't care where you go to church. I want you to talk about Jesus. Because watch this. Jesus is talking about you. Y'all missed it. He is not a dead Jesus. He is not just a resurrected Jesus. He is an ascended Jesus who's right now seated at the right hand of God. And do you know what he's doing? He's talking to God about every last one of us. Y'all missed it. When you do right, he's still talking about you. See, Lord, your word works. Even when you do wrong, he's still talking about you. Lord, give him more time. Lord, spare him. Lord, he go turn around. I'm going to keep working on him. I'm going to keep pruning him. I'm going to keep showing him stuff. I'm going to keep on developing. I'm going to keep on renewing. I'm going to keep on nourishing. I'm going to keep on nurturing. Don't get rid of him. I still got some stuff I want to do in him. The best him hadn't come out yet, God. Don't get rid of him. I see a purpose in his life. Spare him, God. And because God loves Jesus, he does what Jesus says and gives us time to talk about him. And the more you talk about him, the more you want to live with him. The more you want to live with him, the more you try to line up your ways with him. You line up your ways when you start telling others about him. And the world gets to meet Jesus for who he really is. He didn't come here to do miracles. He came here to die for our sins. If he does a miracle, to God be the glory. But he didn't come to do miracles primarily. He did that as a bonus to show his power. But he's done so much in your life already, he don't have to prove that anymore. He don't have to prove himself anymore to any of us to still be Jesus. In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Songwriter said, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. The only one is Jesus. We are here to point you to Jesus. Whether you get a job, whether you get healed, whether you get excess, we are to point you to Jesus. And the body of Christ can't lose the mission of showing people Jesus trying to do all this other stuff. If it's boring, oh well, we're showing you Jesus, who came to die for all of us, not some of us. We offer Christ to you now. My brother, my sister. Won't you come? Somebody will make contact with you momentarily. It's important that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're not saved, today is the day for you to be saved. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. You need to be under the hand of God and his family on the ship. You can't swim these waters by yourself. You need to be on a ship. Only difference between saints and sinners is how we're able to ride out the storms of life. Sinners have to try to swim and figure it out themselves. Saints get on the ship with Christ and ride it out and trust him to get us through. Get on the ship today. Get on the ship with Jesus Christ. Make him the talk of the town. Not your gifts, not your talents, but the Jesus who makes it all worth it, who makes it all worthwhile. Make him your choice today. Won't you come to him, my brother, my sister? To God be the glory for the things he has done. To God be the glory. I pray this morning, the day that you heard that word that God shared with us, that we are assigned today to make him the talk of the town. People often, when you hear that term, talk of the town, is in a negative connotation. It's about their business, their failings, their some scandal associated with their life. And in some cases, in the world we live in today, to talk about Jesus gets you involved in a scandal. It puts you in a certain category when you talk about Jesus and make him the center of your life. But there's something about walking with Jesus, something about talking with him and being in a relationship with him, that he makes every day worth living, makes it sweet. I urge you today, my brother and my sister, to make Jesus your choice, because he's already chosen you. If you're the only person in this world, he still would have died just for you. That's worth living for him. We pray that God bless you today. We offer this opportunity now for you to give. Give unto the Lord as he has blessed you and prospered you to give. Those of us who need the tithe, let's give him what's right, our tenth. And our offerings come from the abundance of our gratitude and our heart towards the Lord and toward his work. Let us give now according as we should do so. You can cash app, $NewZion 1906. You can mail it, P.O. Box 893. And some of our officers will be here to 145. If you want to come by and give, you can do so as well. But we want to invite you all to take part in kingdom building and sowing into the kingdom of God. That is an aspect of our worship as well. We thank God for you today. Thank you for joining us for this worship encounter. We pray something was said or done that blessed you in a mighty way. We've been blessed to share this time with you. As always, our vision is to reach up, to reach out, and to reach in. Be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister. We're praying for you. To God be the glory for what he's getting ready to do in your life. Amen. God bless you. Bless you, sweetie.
Listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K2